Mike.
Ty.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing good. I am doing good. Picked up a great card this week.
Yeah. Who is that? Gronk?
Gronk?
I can't tell who that is.
Sorry. It's Kelsey. Oh, it's
Travis Kelsey. Nice.
Yeah. Pretty excited about that. Yeah. Kai, good. My second oldest boy, he was pretty excited about this because we're trying to build out his Chiefs collection.
I see it's in an SGC holder.
Yeah, I actually picked it up raw and graded it.
Oh, okay.
So, yep.
Nice.
Cool. Any pickups for you? What's up with the drawers open back there? Are you trying to pull out some stuff for the show today?
I had to pull some stuff out for some showcases that I'm going to be doing on Baseball Collector Channel. So I actually have to put some stuff back to it. It's the fun part and the, cause otherwise when you go through your collection, I do sit there occasionally and just go through drawers, but
yeah.
The reality is I go, oh, what player haven't I done or what set haven't I looked at in a while? And it gives me a chance to pull the cards out and enjoy them and put them. It's so cool to put them all together. And I don't know. I love it. That's the part of it I love. And nobody watches, fewer people watch those videos, and I don't care. I do them as much for me as anyone else. So
those things, like, they take me back to being a kid. I still go through my books sometimes and just reorganize them just for the fun of it. Cause it's like, it just takes me back to when I was 12, and I love it. I love those moments.
Yeah. As a kid, I used to sit on my bedroom floor and lay the cards out and put them by team and then by position, and I'd just rearrange them all kinds of ways. None of it, it's kind of nonsensical now, but I look back on it and I just enjoyed having cards of players, and I don't know,
for sure
it was so much fun.
Well, welcome to On the Fly with Mike and Ty. We appreciate you joining each and every week, and as folks noticed last week, we started a bi-weekly episode of responding to comments. So the comments below, we will potentially pick for a bi-weekly episode where we respond to what you're asking and talking about, and some good, some bad. Some people are like, hey, why don't you pick ones that you disagree with more? We will try. We try to mix it up a little bit. But thank you for following us. And real quick, people don't know this, but we do have a separate On the Fly podcast stream that you can find on iTunes and all your favorite podcast platforms. So feel free to go out and subscribe to those. We'll try to put a show
on the fly.
Just call it On the Fly. If you type in Bench Clear in your iTunes or Spotify or whatever you use, you'll see all of our podcasts. So Tyson's Behind the Numbers, your Golden Age of Cardboard, Breaker Culture stuff, and On the Fly. It's all there. It's a beautiful thing.
We're a multimedia conglomerate now.
Just taking over the hobby world.
God, yeah. One listener / watcher at a time.
That's right.
No, we do appreciate everybody though. It is. We do. It's fun.
It is. Well, we have a lot to talk about today, but let's just go ahead and get this out in the open. Everyone's mentioned it to some degree, but the Ukrainian-Russian war going on is such a sad situation. It puts things in perspective pretty quick when you see what's going on and people fighting for their lives and we're trading and talking cardboard. Any thoughts?
Yeah, just somber time worldwide, you know, to be dealing with something like that. It's, I don't know. We all want peace. I think in reality, nobody wants fighting and people dying and, you know, but it does put things in perspective that all this stuff is temporary. Everything we have.
Yes, it does. I saw a few posts about, you know, decrease in YouTube views and fewer impressions on eBay over the weekend. And guys, some things take precedence and it's okay that your views are down and your impressions are down. Like
I was glued to the coverage of it.
Me too.
All weekend, really. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, any new developments, just what's going on. I'm happy to see the Ukrainians fighting for their land, for their country, for their freedom. And you know, we forget and we get complacent in our freedom, and
yeah,
it's a dangerous place to live, man. We, in terms of being complacent.
Yeah.
And we need to really be grateful for what we have. Blessed is the right word. I'm definitely blessed. You're blessed. Hopefully all of you out there are blessed as well. And we are, if we're free, you know, regardless of how many cards you have or whatever else, we live in the greatest country in the world, and we need to not forget that.
Yep. Well said. Well said. All right. Well, before we dig into the bigger topic about the MLB strike and how that impacts the hobby, which we'll get to here in a second, I want to have a little fun.
Oh,
with,
no.
With you.
I don't like to have fun.
I know everybody comments about that, but so let's start a new segment for the time being. And it's going to be called Caption This.
Okay.
I want to throw up a picture, and I just want you to caption the picture. And it's all from the industry conference taking place right now at Tops. Side note, can you hear my kids in the background?
Cannot hear your kids.
Okay, good. I want to make sure everyone can't hear my kids screaming. All right. So just tell me what comes to mind, Mike. That's it. You don't have to overthink this, but these are all from
the BPS. All right.
Twitter feed and the couple from Sports Card Radio. Okay. Tops Chrome Basketball coming back. OTE.
OTE. What does OTE stand for?
It's a marketing conglomerate, essentially, that a lot of basketball players are behind. It's got like massive amounts of funding, $100 million or so. So this is like obviously non-NBA players, high school players, circuit players. What do you got? You excited about that?
I would. My caption would be no LeBron question mark.
Nice. Well, I'm just excited to see Topps Chrome Basketball. I saw that. And I'm like, yes. Oh, this gets me excited. Okay.
Hashtag no matter what. No matter how many cards we produce, please keep buying them no matter what.
There's multiple sessions of like motivational speakers. I'm just gonna leave that one.
Genius.
Here you go.
How to get,
what do you got, Mike? Come on.
Keep an open mind. Keep humanity in mind. Be kind to yourself, too, by buying yourself more Topps products. Be kind to yourself, too. Buy yourself more Topps products.
So this is all about, like, inclusion.
Oh. Gotcha.
I as I see these, by the way, I'm thinking, I'm so glad I didn't pay money to go to this. here's the second part of this one. What do you got for me, Mike? Caption something.
We include, gosh, we include logos. Unlike Panini, we're inclusive of logos.
You've got to imagine the people that went to the conference are thinking, oh my goodness, you've got to be kidding me. Okay, here you go.
I would love to see a shot from the other side, like how many people are actually in that room.
Is anyone asleep? Yeah, exactly. Fanatics acquisition of Topps. I don't even care about this. I want to focus down here on Josh Luber. What in the world is he wearing?
Wow.
Like, I mean, look, I'm all for like being yourself and stuff, but
I think he did it. Because I think he wore that because he immediately went backstage, changed clothes, and gave those to somebody to make some event used, you know, Josh Luber insert.
You can't do that with like Wrangler jeans. You have to do it with like Joker pants. Is that?
This is going to really sell in Allen and Ginter. Allen and Ginter.
Oh my goodness.
That's the caption. I wore my Ginter outfit today.
I wore my Ginter. I love it. Here you go. Sports Card Radio is saying Josh Luber, is paraphrased, will be making buying Luka rookies as seamless as sports betting. Not sure a room full of hobby shops are thrilled about this. I thought that was very true. And it is worth noting that as, and I didn't put this up, as they were talking about growing the hobby and how they view hobby shops, there was a comment mentioned, and he was on a, even on a slide, about how they're looking at like including sports cards as part of sports betting apps.
Wow.
Yeah. What a new world we are entering, Mike.
Shops will be, I don't think shops will ever go away. I just don't. But I think they can, I think it's so funny how during the pandemic, so many shops were opening.
Yeah.
I think that's such a dangerous, a brick and mortar spot is a dangerous investment. You're going to be in trouble. Just ask Mark's Cards.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, it looked like there was some interesting stuff coming out. They did focus on just kind of reassuring hobby shops that they got their backs and they're going to try to add new hobby shops. But in the same breath, they're talking about how they're going to start making things a lot easier. And they're probably focusing on the digital side of this, which is the direction the hobby wants to go through Fanatics and Luber. I think we just have to buckle up and figure out how that works for us.
I think retail gets cut out more than anything.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Retail, in-store retail.
You're probably right.
Just go buy it online, just like you would anything else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wearing my top shirt today.
I can see that. I love it.
I didn't know we were going to be talking about the industry conference.
Well, they definitely didn't stop printing and disregard retail in 2022 tops, because I've never seen so many Wander Franco tweets in my life.
I still haven't even looked for it, honestly. Have you seen any on the shelves yet?
No, I have not. Oh. I have not. And it's kind of,
you need to go somewhere real quick.
Yeah, give me one sec.
Okay. So he's leaving. This is typical Ty. I carry the show anyway, so it doesn't really matter that he's not here. I've not bought any tops 2022 yet. It's hard to say that 2022. I've not bought any yet. I haven't even, again, looked for any of it. I'm sure it's there in abundance. Oh, Ty's back.
Hey, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Kids knocking on the door.
Do you have to set them straight?
I just said, guys, please go hang out with your books and read and study.
For just a minute, I'll be back.
Go educate yourself on something. And they said, yes, Papa, whatever you say.
Such a good dad, father of the year over here.
Yeah. Hence the contact haze that I'm drinking right now.
Oh, that's good. I'm just drinking water.
Okay. I want to show you something.
Great.
But before I do, I saw this on CNBC and they talked about this security firm that identified the top 25 passwords. After all these passwords have been hacked over the years, they ran through the databases and they identified the top 25 passwords that people use. So I screenshotted it. I thought this was too good. Look at these top 25. The number one password people use, 123456. QWERTY. Number four is password.
It is so funny. ABC, crazy, look one, at two, these. Three. ABC, easy as 1, 2, 3, right?
There's only one that actually took a little bit of thought, and that was I love you. And that was number 19.
Wow. It's like that clip in Spaceballs. Did you ever see Spaceballs, the Mel Brooks movie?
I've never watched Spaceballs.
My respect for you has just gone into the toilet, but
great
movie. He talks about something like that for his luggage.
Okay.
It might be worth you finding and watching that clip. It'd be funny.
Okay. Maybe I'll dig it up.
Okay. Keep going.
Okay. All right. So the strike. I'm to the point now where I'm just annoyed, man. I'm just annoyed. I think you made a comment in one of your videos where it's like billionaires arguing with millionaires. Like that's, I think it was your last video, your golden age of cardboard, which is so true. And that's what's frustrating to me the most. It's like we're hanging in the balance here as billionaires argue with millionaires. And I get it. There's some things that affect players and like the good old boys, but I'm starting to think like it might actually impact the hobby if this goes on like even a few more weeks.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? I'll show you some charts here in a minute, but like, what are your overall thoughts on how the strike right now is impacting the hobby or could impact the hobby?
Don't you think that it can, there's two aspects of that in the ultra, you know, stuff today that's being released versus vintage or, you know, 10-year-old, 20-year-old cards. I think the impact would be different.
I do. So let's talk about vintage first. Do you think the strike impacts vintage cards at all?
No, I don't.
Why is that?
Just those players of all their stories have been told. So if you love the history of the game and vintage, what happens today doesn't matter to that. And so it doesn't mean you can't like both. And I do. I love what's happening in the game today. And I love the history of the game and vintage cards. So I just care about them differently. I think about them as two separate things, I guess.
Well, I would disagree.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of the growth that we've seen in the vintage card market is because there's been a lot of younger guys entering into vintage. They're okay. Going to card shows and they're saying, hey, I want to buy this player. What do you got? And it's vintage guys, right? I think a couple of shows I've watched recently talk about the shows that we're at, and it's like young guys going and trying to get into vintage. I do think we run the risk of kind of squelching the excitement for buying vintage baseball.
Just because you alienate those young fans.
Yeah. They're probably thinking, oh, shoot.
Screw it all. You know, even the vintage stuff.
Yeah. It's very anecdotal, but like I do think that could potentially affect a little bit of the vintage market. Not so much of the modern. Like it's going to be exponentially worse for modern. But I do worry about that happening in vintage.
I mean, I was in the hobby, a baseball fan during the strike in 94. I remember it. I remember it just changing the way I thought about baseball. I still loved the game, but I was bitter. And kind of just like, guys, figure this out. And they lost an entire World Series. You know, it dragged on into the next season. Obviously, the longer this drags out, the worse it gets. This is, you know, you would think both sides would go, okay, we got to give something up here. And again, the billionaires, somebody put a comment, not all players are millionaires. And that is true. That's a true statement. But the median income of Major League Baseball is 1.2 million or so. I looked it up after that comment because that's the median, meaning half the guys earn more than $1.2 million and half earn less, which means most. That's if more than half earn over $1 million, that's most.
Yeah.
And my comment wasn't all MLB players are millionaires, but most of them are. And they're doing okay. I'm not saying they shouldn't fight for everything they can get from the owners. That's not my point. I think they should get everything they can, but you got to go sometimes, man, I'd at least rather get a paycheck than not.
Yeah.
And they're not being paid when they're not playing. So I think they've got to figure this out. There's got to be some compromise. And I think they're going to end up losing about 25 to 30 games. It's where I ultimately think it gets.
Yeah. Well, they're already losing spring training games and it's a bummer. My oldest son's baseball team was going down to Surprise, Arizona this weekend for a baseball tournament. And they purposely went to this tournament to go watch spring training games for some of the MLB franchises they like. And they're all canceled.
The Rangers are in Surprise, Arizona. The Royals are in Surprise, Arizona.
Yeah.
They share actually.
It's just like even seeing my son, right? Jackson's kind of like, man, what a stinking bummer. Can they not just figure this out? Like that does impact the younger generation. It starts to really just irritate them.
So where do you think it goes with the modern and ultra modern world, you know, the stuff being released now?
Yeah. So I think, so two things. One, I think the biggest thing that worries me, and this happened in 2020, and it's going to happen again if we lose a significant amount of games, it's the slower development or even lack of development for a lot of the young prospects. You have this, it's almost like the educational gap we're going to have because of, you know, the virus, where a lot of kids didn't go to school for 2 years, right? And there's going to be this gap in like this generation with just not being in school. And I think we're going to see the same in MLB. The talent pipeline is going to be a lot less impressive, and we're just going to have a lot of dead products. You know, it's frustrating for me as a Royals fan, because I want to see Bobby Witt Jr. He should have been playing already, but they had to wait a year. They sent him out a year because of the pandemic. And it's like, I just do not want to see like 2023, 2024 with a lack of like really generational players that we're missing out on, or guys like Soto and Ronald Acuna, and even Trout, who might be impacted from a few extra half season, full season, impacting their potential to break records and stats.
Yeah, it affects. I mean, I think about Fred McGriff as a classic example. 494 homers, I think, for his career. Mm-hmm. And he was around during the 94-95 strike and missed 50 games, however many games it was. I don't know off the top of my head. He would have had 500 home runs easy, and he would already be in the Hall of Fame. Instead, he's got to wait till hopefully a veterans committee is smart enough to induct him.
Right.
You know what I mean? It does. If you think it doesn't matter to some of these career milestones, it does. It's a place or two up the, you know, the home run, career home runs or RBIs or strikeouts for pitchers or whatever. It does matter, and they can't have amazing, great seasons.
Yeah.
If it's 20 games less or 30 games less. Now, does it really matter in the grand scheme? No. But or for you new guys, the war, their war might not be as high. I don't, you know.
Yeah, right.
To say it has no impact is, I think, naive and ignorant. You just don't know better. I'm telling you, it does. And on their stats. And that matters to their collectability. Right.
Well, ultimately, it's not going to matter for prospects, because as we've seen with Wander Franco, right, he's played a half a season and he's already getting priced in like he's Mickey Mantle. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, with prospects, everyone will always gravitate to the next big name. But when they're 5 years in and they're not able to kind of project out and have these types of stats, it will start to matter.
Yeah.
You know, it will.
It won't matter at the beginning, but it'll matter, like you said, just a little bit down the line. Oh, wait, maybe he's not that good, you know? And we've been lucky, like these hype Vlad Guerrero Jr., you know, Bo Bichette, they're good players, right? And for every, meaning there haven't been a lot of just guys that have come up and just totally stunk up the joint, right? Say, you know, Gavin Lux. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm going to catch some heat from all the Dodgers fans, because they're like, he's not even gotten a chance to play. But there's no duds yet, like where you're just going, oh my gosh, people were so all in on this guy. And we thought Ohtani might be that guy, remember?
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, last year was a dud year. We had no breakout rookie last year.
No, but I'm saying the guys from the previous classes are carrying baseball right now.
Yeah,
no
for doubt. Sure. Yeah. 18 right. through 20 are carrying baseball. Agreed.
Right. And that's okay. But you got to have the next generation start showing up.
Yeah.
And it can't just be Wander Franco.
Yeah.
Or next year, Jason Dominguez or whoever, right?
Bobby Witt. So here's a chart that I pulled from Terapeak. So this is just straight from eBay. Interesting. This is baseball graded only.
Okay.
1 year chart. The number of graded cards sold daily. So that's not a trend line you want to see.
Vintage and modern?
Vintage and modern.
I like your linear regression line there. That's good.
7,500 all the way down to about, this is about 4,400, I think.
Hmm.
That's volume. I think we can look at price here in a second, but This is just looking at the categorical information on eBay. It's not pinpointing any player. Like, that's a trend line you want to reverse. And strikes don't reverse this.
Are those daily numbers?
Yep.
It's fascinating. What are the little, is that every Saturday or every Sunday?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's little, like every peak. Like, what's the best day to sell on eBay? When's the most?
Yeah. Sunday and Thursday.
It'd be a good tip for people on your Breaker Culture channel.
Sunday and Thursday. There's your tip.
No, that didn't take, that's a quick video.
I'll start. Hey guys, what's up? Sell your cards Sunday, Thursday. Have a good day.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's the sold price. Interesting. So you're averaging around, I think the daily average for the weeklies, like the week averages were like a 195 or 202, somewhere in that range. You're all the way down to like 145 now.
Wow.
Average sold price. So just baseball. Trend lines that will not be reversed unless you
actually play.
Yeah, unless you actually get out and swing the bat. okay, so you're not necessarily concerned that it affects vintage. You're not necessarily concerned that it affects us long term. It's going to fix itself, but in the short term,
I do agree with you that you could damage the fandom of younger fans, and baseball doesn't have a lot of room here.
Yeah,
I mean, people's attentions are being diluted with so much other stuff. I mean, I was watching Cornhole the other night on ESPN, and you know, there's so many other things to other sports, and you know, March Madness is about to start, and you know, they better get their stuff together. People need to stay excited.
Yeah, that is a good point. People don't really think about it until the sun's out and spring's here. You know, like the, missing some of the spring training games isn't very impactful to people. They don't feel the pain, but give it about a month and people are going to feel the pain.
Yeah.
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 I think back to 2020, right? When we were missing half the season with COVID or watching games and no fans in it. Like I lost a lot of interest in that. Like I still tuned in and listened, but it was not the same. And like that whole ordeal just annoyed me. And I totally lost a lot of like momentum with baseball.
But that was even something you could understand, and you understood why. Like, I don't like it, but it's bigger than the game. It's bigger than, you know, what was happening was beyond their control. This is not beyond their control.
Yeah.
And I think that'll piss people off even more when you go, you guys could have figured this out. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying there's not going to need to be some give and take here. But there's some lines in the sand that I've heard both the players and the owners are drawing that are sound insurmountable.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, look, if you don't budge on this, we're not budging on this. Well, if you don't, there's issues on both sides.
Yeah. And it's the posturing is part of any negotiation, especially these, you know,
multi-billion dollar deals.
Right. But
baseball is already dying on the vine. Fan, you know, attendance is down. Prices are up. I dropped my season tickets this year. I'm like, no, I did the first year of the new stadium and the prices went up. The team was terrible. And I went, no, this is ridiculous. So
yeah,
we didn't renew.
For sure. You know, and we talk a lot about this in our shows, just about consumers in general only have a certain amount of spendable discretionary income. And if you take a new collector, or even a veteran collector, and you just steer him away from baseball into something new, that dollar is gone and they're going to dive into something else and they may not come back and put that dollar in. So yeah, like baseball may be fine in the long run, but if you take the next 6 months and you lose even a small percentage of potential collectors and hobbyists and even investors in the baseball side, they may not come back. Because that dollar might get distracted and maybe even excited to spend somewhere else.
Yeah.
You can't disregard that.
100%. You're 100% correct. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Well,
we'd love to hear what everybody else thinks. I mean,
I would too. Yeah.
This has been something talked about in the periphery that I see other people doing and talking about on channels, but it's real now because pitchers and catchers should have reported 2 weeks ago. And were starting to impact what this season's going to look like. And we'd love to hear what you guys think, where it finishes. I'd love to hear what people think about when they finally figure this out. We should put a pool, like a pool? Date pool when they sign an agreement.
Poll.
No, a pool. Like everybody picks a number. Like you pick like Super Bowl squares or something. You know, you pick remember, you know, you could do like a pool for baby due date for like a person that you work with or something. And
yeah,
hey, the baby's going to be born on this day and everybody picks a number.
Yeah.
Picks a date. We should do a date for when they're.
How about we do a contest? Who can guess the date and the time?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give away this Jackie Robinson.
53 tops, Jackie Robinson. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Probably shouldn't give that away.
How can we do that? Why not?
I'll give yours
away.
Hey,
don't be like those guys. Don't be like those guys.
I have this box sitting here. How about we give this Mosaic Baseball Mega Box away to the person that guesses the right date of when they agree to a deal?
Do they have to agree in principle, or like let's be clear, because we don't want people bitching and moaning if somebody wins?
Okay, let's back up. How about the date that the season begins?
Ooh, okay. Nobody can argue that, right?
Right. When opening day is. Okay. So you have to put your guess in the comments below. Opening day, what day is it? And if it's a multiple people that guess the right date, we'll randomize it. We'll give it away on that week's show.
And we can, that's easy to do because they'll announce when opening day will be based on when they figure it all out. Right. So that'll be, we don't have to wait till opening day.
We'll also throw in a bench clear shirt. You can pick one from our store and we'll ship it to you.
Nice. Hey, that was totally on the fly, by the way, which is the name of this show. We do things on the fly.
Yeah. We'll also throw in this is something Mike has been asking for, bench clear underwear. We do have those coming soon. So caption that.
Game used.
No.
Show used underwear. We could give that away. I promise you want ties, not mine.
Stop. TMI. TMI.
That's funny.
Yeah. Cool, man.
See, we can have fun on this show.
That's right. That's right. That's what happens when you don't plan certain things. You end up having fun. Well, cool. Well, I have a good interview coming out later this week with a very popular card shop owner. We're talking about how they're working to stop fraud and also some interesting trends he's been seeing in the hobby. So that'll be good. And then nice. some more eBay oriented videos on breaker culture.
Want to talk about a certain email that we got from someone?
No, let's save that.
Okay. Special's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, there'll be a good one coming too pretty soon.
What about you? I'll do Golden Age of Cardboard this week. I hope. I'm planning on it. I don't know who my guest is going to be or what I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to figure it out. I've got a litany of topics. I just got to go, yes, I'm going to do that one this week. But I've got a very busy week personally. Just lots going on. The Dallas Card Show is this weekend, another Dallas Card Show. And I'll be going to that. JT Triple Crown 24 is coming in town to stay with me. That'll be fun. And both my kids are coming home from college this weekend. It's going to be nuts. And I have to entertain JT, which will be great. I mean, I got plenty of room. And then what else? I've got a budget for that. I actually have a budget for a card show. I'm like,
what's your budget? How much?
I don't want to tell what my budget is.
Why?
I don't know. It's $500.
No. Oh. Okay. What are you going to do with 500? What's your goal with that $500?
I don't know. I feel like I can't really buy a quote unquote big card, which is what I try to do at a show. I try to buy a bigger card that I wouldn't normally buy on eBay. Cause first of all, I don't want to go through the eBay snake of, you know, what all they do now. And I like to look at the card. If I'm going to spend that kind of coin on a card, I want to see it. I like to look at it.
Yeah, you're thinking of $500 is going to go to one card?
No. I'm saying okay. I won't be doing that. I'll be trying to find more of the $20 card varieties.
Cool.
And it wouldn't shock me if I come home with money, which is hard to do usually at a show. I'm not saying I will, but
yeah,
it wouldn't shock me. So I'll have a little bit. I can't just go to a show and not buy anything. So I negotiated with Julie to get a little tomorrow. Today we're recording this on the last day of February. My house will be paid off. So
congrats, dude. That's great news.
More mortgage, which is one of the big things we were trying to do to focus on personally. And so I'm excited to not have a mortgage. Well, the ranch mortgage. So I guess technically I'll still have a mortgage, but not the same. I'll feel really good. That's good. Yeah,
it's a big anchor to get removed. Take out of the equation. Good for you.
Thanks.
Well, cool, man. Well, that's a good week. It's a busy week. Stay tuned to Bench Clear for all kinds of good stuff. We appreciate all of you very, very much. Have a great week.
See you guys.
Yeah.